حاسس ان
Kalayana.
Because
Bhutani Bhutta Anumeya
तत्त्वो
भूतानि भूतेरन्ये तत्त्वो
गणावलिर्वायुर् इव विषयः
गणावलिर्वायुर्
So now this verse explains that the Lord is actually time. And time is a destroyer. Time is also mysterious because we don't know how it works. We cannot observe it. It is very subtle. It is more subtle than property. Property takes a gross form in many cases, and also has subtle forms like mind, sense objects, etc. But more subtle than that is time. It is completely separate from property. And it's not visible directly. But it exerts a force, because we see it operating all the time. There's a past, present, and future at all times going on. And it is so strong that no one can ever stop time. There's never been an instance where someone could stop time from acting. There's no time when past, present, future stop. So it continually goes on. And that is why it's called Ati Chandavega, a strong force. So that strong force is the Supreme Lord. And, of course, this is an inference we make. Just as if the clouds are moving in the sky, then we will say, the wind is doing it. But we don't see the wind doing it, but we can't see the material wind, even though it is material. We can't see it, but nevertheless we can infer the wind is moving the clouds. So in this way, similarly, by seeing the destructive nature of time, we know there is a force there. So it is the force of time that is doing that. This force of time actually is not directly the Lord, because it is also material. But it is under the control of the Supreme Lord. And like matter itself, because it is an energy of the Lord, it can consider to be the Lord. So similarly, time can consider the Lord also, because of its an expansion of energy of the Supreme Lord. It is also like the Lord in that it cannot be seen. Wind cannot be seen, but actually we can feel the wind at least. So, but we cannot feel time in the sense like this. Also, we cannot actually perceive it with the five knowledge gathering senses in a normal way. It is not subject to, it hasn't got a form, no touch, no taste, etc., smell, etc. But we see it acting in the world all the time. And the manifestation of the acting is that things get destroyed. Things have a beginning and have an end. They perish. So all of this is the force of time acting. So why are things destroyed? Then we conclude, it is the force of time. Even though we cannot physically perceive time. Still, it's time acting. So though we can also not see God directly with our five knowledge-gathering senses, we can also conclude that behind everything is the Supreme Lord. Time, of course, is his material expansion. And of course, wind also is. Yeah? So in the same way, we can also hypothesize the existence of God. Though we cannot see him or sense him with material senses. In this way, we can conclude God without having visible scientific proof. Just as we infer destruction by time, even though we cannot see time. So this is one way in which we can infer the Supreme Lord. There are other ways we can infer the Supreme Lord also. And that, of course, is illustrated by all these other verses here where we see the production of the material world going on. And we cannot see the Creator acting, but nevertheless, It is following a certain process, step by step. And without the Lord, it does not take place. So we infer a force behind that also. So the creation of the material world and the construction of all the living entities, we will conclude, is because of the Supreme Lord, not because of chance or anything else. Of course, we could say chance or so many other impersonal features we could give us a cause, but we cannot always explain how things happen according to chance. So there is particular arrangement of things, particular arrangements in bodies, relationships between bodies, and construction of planetary systems, all done in a particular way. So, because it's done in a particular way, we can infer intelligence of the Supreme Lord behind it. This is a, let's say, an inferential way of concluding the existence of God. The other way of doing it is, of course, direct experience, which we can't do with our own eyes, material eyes. If we have spiritual eyes, we can. But with material eyes, we can't. So from a normal person, a scientist or other persons, we can't prove God in that way because they haven't got spiritual eyes. The other way of proving things is to accept the verdict of Scripture or sabda. So instead of inferring or trying to see directly, instead we simply accept the descriptions given in the Scripture. Which are quite lengthy in works like Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita, and other works. So without having to infer or directly see, we simply accept these statements made in the Scripture. So what do the Scriptures say? Yes, there is a Supreme Being, Supreme God, Supreme Lord, and He is the cause of the material world, He is the cause, the force behind time, He is the source of all the living entities. Etc. So this is the other way in which we can come to a conclusion. So in one sense, we don't need the others if we have Scripture, but people have to have some faith in Scripture. So they can support their faith by using inference. So that is why inference is often given, to help a person accept the facts which are stated in Scripture. So though inference is not a final proof, still people can use the inference technique to increase their faith in the Scriptures. So that is the function of inference. It supports the facts of Scripture. So in this way, we have the primary evidence being the Scripture itself. And we can use inference to support that. And therefore we develop philosophy based upon Scriptures. So that philosophy uses inference a lot. And it's through that philosophy that a person becomes convinced. Yeah, if one has directly seen the Lord, of course, one doesn't need that philosophy at all. So the Nityasiddha devotees in the spiritual world don't have a philosophy. They don't need that. They don't have to increase their faith or anything. They don't need Scripture also, because they directly see the Lord. But people in the material world cannot directly see the Lord, therefore they use Scripture and inference to support their faith. And, of course, direct perception is used to support inference. So therefore we see the clouds in the sky move or whatever, that we use our direct senses also. So inference itself cannot be used without the functions of the direct perception also. We need the senses to observe things, then we get inferences from that. So the two things, direct perception and inference, are used to create logical formulas by which we support the conclusions of the Scripture. And so that is the relationship. Huh? So the primary evidence is shabda, and secondary is inference and direct sense perception. But the final goal is none of these, because scripture itself says that the Supreme Lord is beyond mind and words, which are used to understand scripture. We read scripture because we use our mind and we get meanings out of words. So in one sense, scripture itself says the Lord is beyond scripture also. Beyond mind and words. He cannot be expressed in words. Okay? This, of course, doesn't mean that scripture is useless. But it does mean that direct perception of the Lord by spiritual vision is the ultimate proof. That's the realism. That real proof is the direct perception by the Atman, the sense, spiritual senses. Yeah? So, to get to that level, the scriptures are useful. And they're, because they're useful, they cannot be material. If they help us attain the spiritual goal, they must also be spiritual. So the scriptures themselves ultimately are spiritual. They're not material. And when we become fully spiritual, then we really understand the meaning of scripture also. In the normal world, however, if we have material consciousness and we take scripture, then yes, the Lord is not available in that because we have material conceptions of the scripture. And it becomes material sound. So therefore, we have to accept scripture, but we have to accept it with faith and devotion and through parampara system. Then it takes on proper meaning. Then it becomes spiritualized. Material senses cannot see the Lord. Of course, you see the demons see the Lord. Shishupala saw the Lord, Bakasura saw the Lord and fought with him. So in one sense they can see the Lord, but they cannot appreciate him. So that is a special privilege given when the Lord descends as avatar. They cannot see his form in the spiritual world, but they can see when he appears as avatar. But even then, they do not see the Lord in the same way that the devotees see the Lord. So they see him as a material being only at that time. They don't get any benefit, not much benefit from that. According to one's level of spiritual development, one will see the Lord in different ways, same Lord in different ways, in different relationships. And if one is material, one will see the Lord as a material being only. That's all. If that inference is used following scripture, then it is no longer material. In other words, if we completely distort the meaning of scripture, obviously that type of inference is useless. That is material. If it simply follows after the scripture in accordance with the intentions of the scripture itself, then we say it's spiritual. Well, how does he infer? On his own, independently? Or what? He may get some vague idea, but he won't say, Krishna is God, by inference. He'll say some power may be there, but he won't get all the details. So yes, independently, one could do that. So we see in different religions of the world, or different philosophies, like Plato, they infer some God or something there. But they don't conclude Krishna, definitely. So with intelligence, we conclude something is there, but not necessarily all the correct details. That's all. Yeah, in the spiritual world, non-destructive. So there is daytime, nighttime, etc. passing, but nothing gets old. Time is related to destruction in the material world. In the spiritual world, there is a time which is spiritual, got nothing to do with destruction, only for increasing pastimes. Yeah. You can't see taste. You can sense it. You can sense it. Yeah, you can sense it. But just like even the mind is subtle, but you can infer the mind or you can feel the mind at some degree. But you can't directly perceive it. So in that sense, it's subtle.
Even when
When bhakti is, yeah, faith, when it matures into bhakti and bhakti matures into prema, then we can see Krishna and serve him directly. Yeah, the cause is mercy of devotees. By our experience, we get some increase in faith. In other words, we suffer in the material world, and then we understand that our struggle is useless or something like that. And that experience itself will tend to make us surrender to the Lord in some cases. So we surrender to the Lord because of that. The experience in the material world, that struggling in the material world is not a very good goal. So we'll surrender to the Supreme Lord. But along with that, we also get association knowledge from scripture, etc., to help us. If we don't have that, it's very difficult to make conclusions on our own, just by our own experience.
निरंतरा से श्रीमद् भागवतम की
जय
महाराज की
जय
वंदे श्रीमद् सत्य गोपाल की
जय
गोविंद वंदे
Manda, 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 manda.